Greetings from the voice of Allan Kardec.
And welcome from the voice of the spirits.
We are here once again to take you on another small journey through the Spirits book by Allan Kardec. Today we will cover the nature of future joys and sorrows, questions 965 to 973.
Enjoy.
Question 965. Is there anything material about the joys and sorrows of the soul after death?
They cannot be material since the soul is not matter. Common sense says so. There is nothing carnal about future joys or sorrows, and that is why they are 1,000 times more vivid than those experienced on earth. Once disengaged from matter, the spirit is more impressionable. Matter no longer weakens its sensitivity.
Refer to questions number 237 to 257. Question 966. Why do human beings have such crude and absurd ideas about the joys and sorrows of the future life?
Because their intelligence is not sufficiently developed. Does the child comprehend in the same way as the adult? Besides, it also depends on how they have been taught. That is the point at which there is the most need for reform. Your language is too incomplete to express what exists beyond your reach. Thus, it has been necessary to make comparisons, and you have taken such images and figures as reality itself. However, as people become more enlightened, they better comprehend the things that their language cannot express.
Question 967. What does the happiness of good spirits consist of?
In knowing all things, in feeling no hatred, jealousy, envy, ambition, or any of the passions that make people unhappy. The love that unites them is a source of supreme happiness. They do not experience the needs, sufferings, or anxieties of material life. They are happy with the good they do. Moreover, the happiness of spirits is always in proportion to their progress. Actually, only the pure spirits enjoy supreme happiness. However, this does not mean the others are unhappy. Between the evil ones and the perfected ones, there is an infinity of gradations, in which enjoyments are proportioned to their moral state. Those who are already sufficiently advanced understand the happiness of those who have reached that state before them, and they aspire to it. But for them, it is a reason for emulation and not jealousy. They know that it depends on their own efforts to reach it, and they labor toward that end with the calmness of a pure conscience. They are happy at no longer having to suffer what is endured by evil spirits.
Question 968. You place the absence of material needs among the conditions of happiness for spirits. But isn't the satisfaction of those needs a source of enjoyment for humans?
Yes, the gratification of their animal passions. When they cannot satisfy those needs, it is torture.
Question 969. What are we to understand when it is said that pure spirits are gathered in the bosom of God and employed in singing praises to God?
It is an allegory to give you an idea of the knowledge they possess about the perfections of God, because they see and comprehend God. Like all other allegories, however, you must not take it literally. Everything in nature sings, from the grain of sand on up, proclaiming the power, the wisdom, and the goodness of God. But you must not suppose that the blessed spirits are absorbed in eternal contemplation. That would be a monotonous and dull happiness, and furthermore, a selfish one, because their existence would be an unending uselessness. They no longer suffer tribulations of corporeal life, which in itself is already an enjoyment. Later, as we have told you, they know and comprehend all things, and they make use of the intelligence they have acquired by aiding the progress of other spirits. That is their occupation, and at the same time, it is their enjoyment.
Question 970. What do the sufferings of low-order spirits consist of?
They are as varied as the causes that produce them and are in proportion to their degree of impurity, in the same way that enjoyments are in proportion to their degree of purity. We can thus sum them up. Coveting everything they lack to be happy, but not being able to obtain it. Seeing happiness, but being unable to attain it. Regret, jealousy, rage, and despair arising from everything that keeps them from being happy. Remorse and an indescribable mental anguish. They long for all sorts of enjoyments, but cannot satisfy them. That is what tortures them.
Question 971. Is the influence exerted by spirits over one another always good?
It is always good on the part of good spirits, of course. However, perverse spirits endeavor to draw aside from the path of repentance and the good those whom they think are susceptible of being misled, and whom they often led into evil during their earthly lives.
Sub-question 971. So death does not deliver us from temptation.
No, but the action of evil spirits is much less significant over other spirits than over human beings, because other spirits are no longer sustained by material passions.
Refer to question number 996. Question 972. In what way do evil spirits tempt other spirits since they cannot count on the passions to help them?
Although the passions no longer exist in the material sense, they still exist mentally in little evolved spirits. They lure their victims to places where they can witness the spectacle of those passions and everything that arouses them.
Sub-question 972. But what end do those passions serve, since they no longer have any real object?
That is precisely what comprises their torture. Misers see gold that they cannot possess. Debauchees see orgies that they cannot take part in. The haughty see the honors that they envy, but which they cannot enjoy.
Question 973. What are the greatest sufferings evil spirits have to endure?
It is utterly impossible to describe the mental tortures that are the punishment for some crimes. The actual spirits who suffer them find it difficult to give you an idea of them, but assuredly, the most frightful is the thought of being condemned forever.
Author's remarks for question 973. People's idea about the joys and sorrows of the soul after death is more accurate or less according to their state of intelligence. As they become more evolved, their thinking also becomes more refined and more divested of materiality. They comprehend things more rationally, and they cease to take the images of figurative language literally. The most enlightened reasoning teaches us that the soul is an entirely spiritual being and that it cannot be affected by impressions that act only upon matter. However, it does not follow that it is free of suffering or that it is not punished for its wrongdoing. Refer to question number 237. Spirit communications are meant to show us the future state of the soul, no longer as a matter of theory, but as a reality. They place before us all the vicissitudes of life beyond the grave, but at the same time, they also show us that they are the perfectly logical consequences of the terrestrial life. Although divested of the fantastic accoutrements created by human imagination, they are nonetheless painful for those who have made a bad use of their faculties. The diversity of such consequences is infinite, but may be generally summed up in the fact that each soul is punished for its specific sins. Some are punished by the incessant sight of the evil they committed, others by regret, fear, shame, doubt, loneliness, darkness, and separation from those who are dear to them, etc.